Welcome back, everybody. I'm Ellie for Christians on Campus, and this week we continue our Bible study on the common faith. We come to item number 5, and the topic is Christ resurrected from among the dead on the third day. 3 days after Christ died on the cross, he resurrected from among the dead. This is proof that his death was effective. However, his resurrection also accomplished other things. In this week's material, we will get into how Christ was glorified, made the firstborn among many brothers, and became the life-giving Spirit all through his resurrection. So let's get into a couple of verses. 1 Corinthians 15:4 says, "And that he was buried, and that he has been raised on the third day according to the Scriptures." 1 Corinthians 15:45b says, "The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." So now we come to the point of the necessity of Christ's resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:14 says, "And if Christ has not been raised, then our proclamation is vain. Your faith is vain also." In making the case for the resurrection of Christ, the apostle first supposes that Christ has not been raised, and then quickly shows how that would make our proclamation of the gospel vain, and even our faith vain. Therefore, this verse tells us that the resurrection of Christ is necessary for the accomplishment of his death to be applied to us. Let us recall that by his death, he redeemed us from our sins. His resurrection enables us to receive his life and to be joined with him. By his resurrection, we can also enter into him. Hallelujah! Which has the awesome benefits shown in the next verse. Romans 8, 1-2 says, "There is now then no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life has freed me in Christ Jesus from the law of sin and of death." This verse shows that not only did he redeem us from sins by his redeeming death, but since he also overcame death, this is his resurrection, he is able to deliver us from the law of sin and of death. With his resurrection, we may know that he has redeemed us from our sins, and God has accepted his redemptive death on our behalf. Now, did you know that Christ not only entered into you, but also that you entered into him? Praise the Lord! Now, we come to the point of how, in resurrection, Christ was glorified in the divine life. Luke 24:26 says, "Was it not necessary for the Christ to suffer these things and enter into his glory?" We will see how Christ's resurrection was his glorification. Here's an illustration. When a carnation seed is sown, it dies under the earth. Then it grows back up out of the earth, and eventually it blossoms. That blossoming is its glorification. Jesus was a unique seed of the divine life, and before his death, divine life was concealed within him. His humanity was the shell, and when his humanity was broken on the cross, the divine life came out from within him. And we can see this in a figure in John 19:34, which says, "But one of the soldiers pierced his side with a spear, and immediately there came out blood and water." Here, the water signifies the divine life. Then, in his resurrection, he was glorified in this divine life. Amen. Christ entering into resurrection was like the blossoming of the carnation seed. He was glorified. Now, we come to the point of how in resurrection, Christ was born as the firstborn Son of God. Acts 13:33 says, "That God has fully fulfilled this promise to us, their children, in raising up Jesus, as it is also written in the second psalm, 'You are my son, this day have I begotten you.'" This verse shows that to Christ Jesus, resurrection was a birth. Incarnation was his birth as a man, but resurrection was his birth in his humanity as the firstborn Son of God. Christ as the Son of God has two aspects. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that everyone who believes into him would not perish, but would have eternal life." From this verse, we can see the first aspect, that before his resurrection, he was the only begotten Son. The second aspect is indicated in Romans 8:29, which says, "Because those whom he foreknew, he also predestinated to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brothers." In resurrection, he was born of God as a firstborn son. When Christ was incarnated, he put on humanity. However, his humanity was not divine. It was through death and resurrection that his humanity was brought into divinity. Ephesians 2:6 says, "And raised us up together with him and seated us together with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus." Hebrews 2:11 says, "For both he who sanctifies us and those who are being sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brothers." These last two verses combined together show us that in Christ's resurrection, we, his believers, were also resurrected. When he was crucified, we were crucified. When he was resurrected, we were resurrected. In his resurrection, he was born as the firstborn son of God, and we also were born as the many sons of God. Praise the Lord! He became the firstborn son, and we became his many brothers. Praise him! Now we come to the point of how in resurrection, Christ became a life-giving spirit. 1 Corinthians 15:45b says, "The last Adam became a life-giving spirit." We have seen that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 is definitely the chapter on resurrection. The last Adam in this verse typifies Christ, who became a life-giving spirit through his death and resurrection. He is not only our Redeemer, but also the life-giving spirit. By his death, he redeemed us. In his resurrection, he imparts himself into us as life. The Lord Jesus Christ is the life-giving spirit. This is why 2 Corinthians 3:17 says, "The Lord is the Spirit." Today in resurrection, the very Christ, our Redeemer, is identical to the Spirit who gives life to us. Thank you, Lord, for giving your life to us. Now we come to our last point of how in resurrection, Christ breathed into his believers. John 20:19 through 22 says, "When therefore it was evening on that day, the first day of the week, and while the doors were shut where the disciples were for the fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, 'Peace be to you.' And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at seeing the Lord. Then Jesus said to them again, 'Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you.' And when he had said this, he breathed into them and said to them, 'Receive the Holy Spirit.'" John 20 reveals that after his death and in his resurrection, Christ returned from the Father. He returned in a wonderful way. The disciples were in a house with the door shut for fear of the Jews, and then suddenly Jesus was standing there and saying to them, "Peace be to you." He did not teach them, and he did not give them a sermon as he did on the Mount. He simply breathed into them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit." From the time of his resurrection, Christ never left the believers. Here and there he appeared to them, but he was always with them. Consider then what is included in his resurrection. He was glorified. He became the firstborn son of God, making all of us his many brothers. And he became the life-giving spirit who is breathed into us to be with us forever. Lord Jesus, we love you.